Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You have a noon tea time, laddies and lassies.
Well, it's a well-known fact, Sonny Jim, that there's a secret society of the five wealthiest people in the world known as the Pentagon.
Danny and Dusty on Open Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tea time at langdonfarms.com.
The Queen, the Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
I hated the Colonel with his wee beady eyes and that smug look on his face. Oh, you're gonna buy my chicken.
The Fan.
Because he puts an addictive chemical in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly.
That is the longest open Jeff Ross has ever put together. I pit my mic on probably three different times. Like, nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. Nope,
hey,
not yet.
Hey, you got to take all the Soy Merritt and Axe Murder while you can. You know what I mean? Got to play the hits.
What clip was that from?
Soy Merritt and Axe Murderer, probably the most underrated Mike Myers movie.
Have you not
seen it?
I'm going to put it on the list.
That's one where he plays his own dad.
Yeah. See, but I watch a lot of Mike Myers, though. Yeah. Big Austin Powers guy.
There you go. Will Ortner in for Dusty here. Dusty out. Well, basically, he was just tired of me. I was back for a day. He's like, I need a break from me. Jeff Russ behind the glass. It's a Thursday lovely afternoon here in Portland. And let me just say, if I sound like hell, it's because I still have not recovered from Las Vegas. I am clearly too old and too washed to continue to do this at this pace without taking an additional day off. My wife looked at me this morning and just said, are you okay? And I just very bluntly said, no, I'm not. I'm exhausted mentally, physically. I looked at my watch, mm-hmm. and I quite literally averaged 18,000 steps a day when I was in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah.
So I was walking 10 miles a day inside, outside, didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I was a dummy, and I did not bring a good pair of like walking shoes.
You walking around on the strip in your Crocs?
No, I didn't bring the Crocs. Crocs stay here. I didn't want to bring the...
Can't fly with those.
Well, yeah, you can.
That was a joke.
Oh, yeah, no. Crocs are great on the plane. The problem is, I knew I was going to Las Vegas, and I knew my feet would just turn into swamps inside there. And I went... Yeah, that's going to be a no from me, dog. But I brought, like, all the shoes that I brought. I brought one pair of, Nike cross trainers, mm-hmm. that I don't wear socks with.
Oh, they're, like, kind of got the built-in, they're the softer on the side.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, okay, they're, like, I got gotcha. They're super tight.
Yeah. No, I got what you're...
They're almost like slip-ons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I wore those for a day. Half the day, and my feet sweat so much in them. I was like, can't wear these anymore. Like, this is a problem. Like, this is not good, folks. My wife just looked at me like, you can't keep those shoes in the room. And I was just like, sorry.
Like, where are they supposed to go? You could do the Kevin from The Office and give them to the hotel staff to clean.
There you go.
Just hope they don't throw them away.
No, I actually, I did wash them out just because I was like, oh my God, I don't think I've ever had my feet sweat this much in my entire life. And they dry super quick. So it was like, yeah, fine, I'll just do that. But I just brought like Nike basic, like, flat shoes. Like, I had some Jordan 1 Lows. I had like the Nike like deck shoes. But with all of my injuries, flat shoes while walking 10 miles a day was like the dumbest possible decision I could have made. And my legs feel like somebody just took hammers to them. And I'm just like, you know, you're an idiot. You're going to complain about it because you're an idiot, but you don't deserve to complain about it because you're an idiot.
See, but this is where you go and you get the massage. This is where the insurance kicks in.
I'm legitimately going, when we get off air here, I'm going straight to my physical therapy, chiropractor, massage therapist are all in the same.
Boom, you're going to hit them 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, that's what I did before I left. So I'm dreading the rolling pin on my calves. Just I am terrified of what is about to transpire.
But your biggest mistake was not giving yourself the buffer day between the return and coming back to work.
I kind of did.
You always got to kind of work that in the schedule.
Well, that was the point. It was like we landed at 9 o'clock, and I was like, I'll just treat that day as the day off kind of deal. But the problem was, it took me 3+ hours to get home.
Yeah, that blows.
How did it take 3+ hours to get home?
Because people are dumb.
Okay. So enlighten me on how they were so dumb, because I agree with you.
I landed at 9:15 Tuesday morning, and it took 2 hours to get from PDX to my in-laws in Beaverton, because a car was stalled on I-84, and instead of just getting it over to the side and going around it, it took 2 hours to get from the airport to Shoals and Allen in Beaverton.
I hate Portland traffic. I was complaining about it when I walked in today. It's the worst. I've gotten to the point, and maybe it's my old age that I'm starting to have. If there isn't a wreck when there is traffic, it actually angers me.
Yeah, welcome to getting older.
It actually angers me. Yes. There needs to be, not like a bad wreck, but there needs to be a car hitting another car.
There needs to be an actual thing happening.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this caused me my traffic.
The dumb construction issue.
Right.
Yes.
Yesterday on my drive in, and I take the back roads up over the West Hills because I know pretty much exactly how long it takes me. I was on Thompson Road getting ready to crest at Skyline and sat there for 20 minutes for road work, not moving. And the road work wasn't even on the road that I was on. It was on Skyline, the cross street. So they were paving and had everything down to one lane. I think I saw a pilot car, but we didn't move.
Yeah.
For 20 minutes. The only reason why we moved was because people getting out of the street and turning around and going back the other way.
The worst.
Yeah. But so yeah, then moving from my in-laws to my house, the whole back roads from Beaverton through Sherwood and into Newburgh were turned into one lane.
Because it's
construction season. So
that's rough.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And I was like, oh, perfect. I'll get home at 9:15. There won't be traffic.
Right.
Like, I literally picked that flight so that I would avoid it at all costs. And instead, it was the worst possible version of it. And I wanted to die. Vancouver Ford text line. Danny, didn't you say that after you came back from Las Vegas, you played 9 hours in a video game and now you're complaining you're tired? Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what I'm doing. Deal with it.
Well, you also...
I have the microphone, and you will listen.
You also have to lead your dynasty.
Look, I had young men whose futures I need to help forge.
That's right. If you don't go out there and lead them like the leader you are, what will become of them?
I started my...
Your team?
I always have like a test case. I went with Houston first.
Okay.
So, made it to the college football playoff. It was very difficult.
Ooh, there you go.
Lost to Oklahoma on a last-second play, and then I got absolutely stomped by Penn State in the playoff. Just didn't have the horses in the trenches, man.
It was
tough.
Ran into a bigger dog?
Yeah. My running game was stifled. The RPO was not very effective either, so it was a tough sledding. But I created my my road to glory player. I made a middle linebacker last night.
I've heard defense in that game is impossible.
It is very difficult.
Why?
Are you playing at the Heisman difficulty level?
Yeah. It's very difficult to stop players. But I started as a 3-star,
Oh, I've heard don't do that.
No, no. Two-star, don't.
Don't do two-star. Two-star, three-star, okay.
Three-star is the grind. Like, we gotta, yeah. You got
to because you need to grind.
You got to take it out. You can't go five-star.
You can't start as a five-star. No. That's not cool.
No, no. That's gross.
You got to earn it.
Yeah, you earn, not given. You gotta pull it out of the mud. So, mm-hmm. I went three-star middle linebacker. I ended up going to Bowling Green.
Okay.
It's tough.
I was like, how's it doing over there with the Eagles?
Tough sledding because they open up with... was it A&M and Penn State?
Nice. You're so toast.
So I was your second string Mike, and I was getting pancaked.
Ooh.
An awful lot.
It was a rough day for the boy?
Not filling a lot of gaps.
Gaps were being opened.
Oh, buddy. I was getting yard sailed. I think Penn State has like two like 88-plus
They found
guards.
The marker.
Oh, buddy. Buddy, the animations that they put in that game, there's one full butt over tea kettle cleats to the sky, and I was like, oh no.
I read the
guard, you know, blocking down. I'm like, time to fail, baby. Full sprint at the gap, and then counter comes back and just yeet, just absolutely sent. I actually recorded it. I'll throw it up on Twitter. It was hilarious. I was like,
so what you're saying is you're not an old school thumper linebacker. No. You're more of a coverage.
No,
linebacker.
No, I am. I made him. Was it 6'2", 230?
Does he have a neck roll?
Oh,
has to have a neck roll,
buddy. Neck roll, jersey tucked under, yes. Number 55.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're out
taped
here. Taped
fingers.
Working. Yes.
Yes.
And half arm sleeves.
There you go.
Yeah. No,
there
you go. It is a linebacker straight out of 1998 to 2004. There he is. He has his time period very much nailed down.
There you go. I get the game tonight.
That's right. Midnight or is it 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
It's midnight Eastern.
Yeah. Well, at least they do that now. They used to make. Here's the torturous thing for all the West Coast when we used to have the GameStop releases and stuff
yeah.
like that. They used to make you wait until mm-hmm. midnight, even though like back
it's
then
it's out. It's they have it.
Yeah,
in New
like
York
on the
right
East Coast,
now.
Like hey, they had it 3 years ago. Let's make this happen. Because I had buddies when I was in the Air Force. I had buddies who what game came out. I can't
maybe
even
like
remember what it was.
Maybe a Call of Duty type thing?
It was. I think it might have
Medal of Honor?
No, that's a little too old. I think it might have been Black Ops.
Yeah, 2. Yeah, or MW2. Those
yeah,
are,
it was
yeah.
one of the OGs, whatever, 06, yeah. 07, whatever one that one was. And I was home on leave when it came out, and I'm like, I brought the Xbox home with
yeah.
me. I'm like, I'll run down to GameStop midnight. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but they're all texting me like, dude, hop on. I'm like, bro, I gotta wait 3 more hours. They're like, what do you mean you gotta wait? I'm like, they make us wait till midnight out here. I'm like, but why?
Which is so bogus. I'm glad that they don't do that anymore, but I got roped into trivia night tonight, so there might be a quick Irish exit at about 8:45. Might
yes.
have to go home.
Yeah, you manage to make sure you're making right choices so that you can again affect the lives of young video game men.
The plan.
Vancouver 4 text line. You can't go back to those kids' families and tell them you were tired.
That's right.
You can't.
Being tired is a choice.
Yeah.
That was a big thing that was harped on at Central. And I'm sure Coach Lanning, who thinks being sick is a choice.
Being sick is a choice.
He would agree.
He probably doesn't even know the word tired. Can't spell it.
No.
Can't find it in the dictionary.
I will say I'm in season 2 now with Houston. And
you didn't leave.
No, I stayed. We're building something.
Good for you.
We're building a program.
You're building a powerhouse.
I did secure my first 5-star last night.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. How much money?
You know, things were agreed to.
Was there a McDonald's bag involved
yes,
in this?
Yes, there's definitely a McDonald's bag involved.
Signing?
But we got the number one rated right tackle in the class.
Ooh, so, building from the trenches out. There you go.
See.
Smart.
Yep.
Smart. I see what you're doing.
We went to the recruiting base, and we're making sure that we're addressing the trenches first, because good God almighty, did we get mauled in the trenches. It was not pretty against Penn State. It was tough.
Hey, look, sometimes you have to identify your weak points.
Super tough.
And build them
yeah.
through recruiting.
Wow. So
now that we got all that behind us, you guys ready to talk about my fantasy team?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait. Dude, I'm going to do so well with the ladies at Trivia Night when I talk about my... college football team,
which is it's hilarious because you're right, Jeff, because nobody wants to hear about this, but at the same time everybody does want to hear
exactly.
about it because
yep.
everybody is like Spencer the football podcast For the love of God.
This is over my head, buddy.
He was on with Bomani Jones, and they were talking about it. And Bo's, I think, a couple years older than me. Mm. I think he might be between you and I, Jeff, in age. And he's like, look, I haven't played in a long time. The last system I got was a PS3. But I think this game is calling out to me.
Hey, I bought an Xbox. I have not had a system since my PS3 went to crap.
It is a cultural 2019? Thing. Yeah. My wife
it's a big
like,
deal.
I told her like a couple weeks ago, look, just so you know, when this game comes out, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to park both monitors. One's going to be on whatever game basketball game I'm watching in Summer League. Mm-hmm. The other one is going to be on this. And like this, I'm going to turn my brain off for like a week. And just bask in this, like, and reminisce in this greatness that is called the college football video game.
It's the best game, like, ever. Yeah. We used to stay up all day, all night. Buddies would come over. You'd create your Road to Glory guy, and you would just play all day.
Endlessly.
The only thing that I don't like about it, you don't start in high school in Road to Glory anymore.
Yeah, I do you miss that because you need that little bump.
That was
also,
the beauty.
They also limit what you can play now. It's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, Mike, or corner. There's no
safety?
No safety.
Wow.
And no pass rushers.
I don't like that.
Because I was like, man, I want to play an end. That's what I want
to
do.
Right, stand up outside linebacker.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I was like,
ghost rush.
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, like let me you know, freelance a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a tough one. I don't like that. That being said, I'm very excited. I'm going to pick one of the Pac-2 schools. I haven't decided between Washington State or Oregon State.
Let's be honest. We know where you're going.
Yeah.
You're going to be a kook.
Oh, that's an upset.
Oh, you really?
Well, I grew up. Grandpa Gary Ortner is a Beaver.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
So I've been, I was getting pushed on the Oregon State train for years and years and years. But I'm going to flip a coin. I think that's the only fair way to do it. I will be an offensive coordinator, and I will lead my team to glory. And then I may or may not leave, depending on if I get more money or not.
I did get offers after year one to be head coach at a couple big schools. But I also got a couple OC offers at some SEC schools. And I was like, I don't think so, guys.
Like, if you're going to get me out of here.
I just took Houston to the college football playoff. Wait till year two.
You got to back up the Brinks truck.
wait till year two.
Right now we're building something. I'm not leaving anytime soon. I love these kids. They're my family.
Speaking of year two, it's time to the second time Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Utah Jazz. That's the news of the day. We'll get to that here right out of the gate, and then dive into some trouble stuff. We're getting some questions here on the Vancouver Ford text line, asking kind of a philosophical question about a potential redraft right out of the gate. We'll get to that more here. Coming up in Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Utah Jazz are paying Russell Westbrook to go away for a second time. Let that sink in for a second.
Beautiful, the fall from grace.
Also, Odyssey, you know, if you want to pay me to go away and then to come back, just putting it out there, I'm also open to that same opportunity that Russell Westbrook has been given. Pay me to go away and then I will come back a second time. What is happening is the Los Angeles Clippers have agreed to a sign and trade with the Utah Jazz that will send Russell Westbrook to the Jazz in exchange and a second round pick and cash in exchange for Chris Dunn. Think about that for a second. Russell Westbrook, a pick, and cash is being sent to the Jazz for Chris Dunn. When you said how far they have fallen, Russell Westbrook has fallen off a proverbial cliff.
Well, it's just the style that he plays. I mean, he never could shoot to begin with.
No.
And
the athleticism's fading.
Right. Athleticism's fading, so he's not able to get to his spots as well as he used to. And he also doesn't seem like the type of guy that can play second fiddle. Like, I know he's coming off the bench, but when he comes off the bench, he gets to be the guy, and he really shouldn't be the guy even coming off the bench anymore.
No, and the Jazz are going to buy him out, which I would imagine the cash that was sent in the deal is probably close to as much as possible to offset what his buyout is going to be. And then he's expected to sign a minimum contract with the Denver Nuggets. Now, if you're wondering, why the Denver Nuggets? Well, one, the Nuggets haven't done anything other than lose players so far this offseason. They need to go out and get somebody. Why Russell Westbrook is a question that I have asked 1,000 times in my life. The Nuggets, who were 28th in three-point attempts last year, are going to add a guy who's arguably the worst volume the worst volume three-point shooter in the history of the league by a substantial margin. I don't understand this. I get that you need another ball handler. Tyus Jones is right there. Like, Tyus Jones is out there to be had. He's still a free agent. Like,
right.
What's really interesting is if you, I don't know if you guys remember, Jeff, last year, you didn't see Kelly Oubre sign until like August. It was super, super, super late. And with the new CBA, there's going to be, there's going to be free agents that are going to take a while to sign. It's actually quite interesting with the new CBA, kind of how these are all kind of lingering. As it sits right now, let's see, unsigned free agents that are actually like viable players. Precious Achiuwa, who was let go by the Knicks. Dominic Barlow, who's with the Spurs. Imani Bates, who was a two-way guy who's done some stuff with the Cavs. Patrick Beverley, we didn't talk about this yesterday. He's playing in Israel.
Yeah, he signed. It's like a historic like $2 million contract for that league, I guess. Yeah,
so it's a big deal. He's playing overseas. Reggie Bullock Jr. is out there. Robert Covington is still a free agent. Jay Crowder is still a free agent. Spencer Dinwiddie is still a free agent. Markelle Fultz has not signed. Gallinari has not signed.
So is the thought here then for the Nuggets that you're just looking for someone with some veteran leadership to help is he there to help Brown? Like, is that what he's there to do?
I don't know what they're going to do in Denver with Russell Westbrook because, yes, they need another guy who can dribble, but like, there's not a shortage of guys out there who can dribble. Like, there's still like, I would much rather, number one, if you can get Tyus Jones at the minimum, I would go that way.
He can actually shoot.
I mean, not only that, he's just a functional player. Like, it's just...
Well, and he's not going to demand what Russell Westbrook is just going to demand. Like, Russell Westbrook was never going to age gracefully, partially because of what made him so great was his irrational confidence. The problem with irrational confidence is when you lose a step the irrational confidence doesn't go away.
No, and he changed his game a little bit with the Clippers, but, I mean, when you talk about the fall off, last year he averaged 11-5-5, shooting 45% from the field and 27% from three, 69% from the free throw line. Nice. I mean, you're looking at a guy who career shoots 30% from three. So you're looking at a guy that doesn't make a ton of sense for the Nuggets. I don't fundamentally understand. Now, Nikola Jokic might be the guy to help facilitate and rehab his career. Like maybe the best passing
big man.
Not even big man. He might be the best passer in the league right now. It's probably between him and Luka, because Ben Simmons just doesn't play basketball anymore. It is kind of insane that the three best passers in the league right now are all international players.
Right.
With you know, love to Braun, but he's not that anymore. But you take a look at what Jokic has been able to do in elevating players' games. I just don't know how much you can elevate Russell Westbrook at this point. I don't know if that's a possibility going forward. I will love to watch the car crash, because boy, do I love watching Russell Westbrook go to teams and turn into a giant car crash.
Right. Well, and I feel like this is the Lakers all over again. Like, you have a team that needs more outside shooting, and instead you add Russell Westbrook, a guy who can't shoot. But I know that, you know, we make fun of me for being young here, but when I think of basketball players, I can't think of maybe not necessarily a quicker fall from grace, but someone that we're going to look back at in 10 to 15 years and go, how did Russell Westbrook win an MVP?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to 1920, his first year in Houston, he averaged 27-8-7. That was the last time he was an All-Star. 1920.
Yeah, 1920.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there at Yellowstone?
Five years ago. That was the last time. And it's just, you know, just the world that we're in right now. He's now 35, going to be 36 years old. And is he a viable player? Sure. But is he something you can really concern yourself with, good, bad, or otherwise? Probably not. I think the more interesting storyline in Denver right now is the fact that Jamal Murray hasn't signed his extension, because it hasn't been presented, because the Denver Nuggets are going to wait until he's done with Team Canada, because this is a guy whose knees are about to fall off. So Denver's got some point guards that have some issues. And for all of the, you know, a year, maybe a year and a half ago, remember the discussions around the Nuggets? Oh, they're a dynasty, and they're going to win three in a row. One and done might be it.
It's kind of the new way the NBA is going, but it's also designed that way with the new CBA. Like, you look at Boston, mm-hmm. I know they just re-signed everybody, but they're with the way the CBA is going, they've only got, what, two more years before they really start losing a lot of the role players?
It's really only a year.
The guys that made them as deep as they were. This is what the NBA wanted. They didn't want to have these massive dynastic runs by teams that had dominated the 90s, the early 2000s. I mean, shoot, even in the 80s. So this is what the NBA wanted. It might be more of where we talk about championships in the NBA like we do in the NFL, where it's like, if you can get one or two as a star player,
that's enough.
It becomes a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now it's like you got to get three or four before people really start putting you into, you know, a tier one, tier two, tier three Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Now it's like, or in a couple of years, it could be one of those things where it's like, he won two titles and that was the best you were going to do with him.
Yeah. It's a really interesting, I don't know, fit with Russell Westbrook going to the Nuggets, but also what the world of the Nuggets are in right now. If for the bingo board, I would definitely did not have Chris Dunn being the more valuable thing in a trade that involved Russell Westbrook. An interesting question here on the Vancouver text line that I want to get to. From the performances we've seen at Summer League thus far, which players are you most bummed about us missing in the draft? We'll get to that and more coming up here next here on Danny and Dusty. But first, here's the big kahuna of the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Fun little question here on the Vancouver Ford text line. For the performances we've seen at Summer League thus far, which players are you most bummed about us missing in the draft? Before we dive into that, basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. There have been a bunch of standouts in Summer League. Among this class, Reed Shepard's probably way up there. We talked about him yesterday. His ability, his pull-up jumper is just insanely good. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, this guy's a player. But it's another guard where it's like, oh, God, for the love of God, I can't do more guards. Even as good as he's going to be, an interesting kind of fit working things through.
When you look at Klingon and what he's done so far, mm-hmm. I feel like Blazer fans shouldn't be bummed out at all about missing on anybody. Like, he has been exactly what you wanted, a rim protector who can go and get boards. And
he solves problems that are questions the Blazers have. Like, he's an answer to the questions.
Well, I can't remember a Blazer or a Blazers team having a big that could rim protect in my lifetime. And I get it. I'm not that old, but I'm 26.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they probably had somebody that was like that was Camby, who was like just an absolute terrorist as a shot blocker.
But I think there's more room for Klingon, like more potential there. There's more room for growth than Camby was.
Camby's a hell of a player. But yeah, I mean, Sabonis was just so big that he operated as a rim deterrent, but it was a different era of the NBA. Prisbilla was probably the last like functional. Robin Lopez was a functional rim protector.
Saw him at the airport.
But Robin is probably a more apt comparison, and I've talked to folks in the league who think that the like apex predator version of Donovan Klingon is Brook Lopez.
Okay,
like.
I can get down with that.
If all of a sudden he's like knocked down threes on offense, which I think he's a long ways from, but like that, his functional ability is like knock down three, spread court offensively while being a perimeter playmaker, and then defensively being a guy who just sits in the paint. Mm-hmm. And that's something he does very well. I wrote about it on my Patreon. He already is a rookie. He 2.9s really well. For those of mm-hmm. you who don't know, 2.9ing is your 3 second call is you standing in the paint for 3 seconds, not guarding anybody. You 2.9, which means you get 1 foot out, tag somebody, and get back in. Or if you're Donovan Klingon, you just stand there and make them call it until they eventually call it. And that's like knowing how to do that and being willing to do that, not getting all jittery in the paint. Like, he just parks his big butt in the middle of the paint and mm-hmm. says, call it.
Right.
And you've heard multiple coaches on the opposing teams in the broadcast yelling, he hasn't left the paint. He hasn't left the paint. 3 seconds. Like, it's quite funny. Mm-hmm. But I think he answers a lot of questions. I will say that there, like, I do have like FOMO of like developing young players. That's like my favorite thing in the NBA is watching young guys put it together.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love Dame. Mm-hmm. Watching him develop was incredible. It's not that I didn't appreciate him dropping 71 points or hitting the .9 or the bad shot or everything else in between. But my favorite thing to watch is a player's first 5 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Watching them go from like, you know, bright-eyed bushy-tailed to figuring it out. It's super, super, super cool to watch the building blocks come together and like progress along the path.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Utah got an absolute dude in Cody Williams. Cody Williams, everyone's like, I don't know. It's just he's kind of skinny. Is it just because his brother's in the league? No. The dude is an absolute freaking bucket, and that's what you're seeing. He's averaging 17 a game, shooting 60% from the floor. Like, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's going to be really he needs a little bit of time. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. To give him 2 years in the league because he's a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Go hit an NBA weight room for a year and a half and watch. We're going to be talking about this guy and going, yeah, that's a dude. And look, I'm not mad that the Blazers didn't take him, so to speak, in the sense of like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that and they traded for Denny because I love Denny.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me about guys that I'm like, oh God, it would be nice to have him. Cody's 1A on that list, unabashedly. Tristan Da Silva and Terrence Shannon Jr. are both guys who Tristan Da Silva is just a pro. Like, if the Blazers kept their 14th pick, like that's who was, yep, he looks good.
Take those guys.
Yeah, yep. Terrence Shannon Jr., obviously he had a rape charge. And I talked to folks in the league who told me that behind the scenes that there was once all of the evidence came to the fore that the charges just didn't have any merit. and it's a nasty charge and something that's sitting with him for a very long time. But all of the background and security and all the stuff that went into that, they said, yeah, the video did not show it was him.
Someone else, or
it's pretty clearly not him.
Yeah,
it's a black man.
I'm gonna say someone who has not seen the video.
Yeah, but it's pretty conclusively not him. So it's you know, it's unfortunate the situation that he found himself in. He's another guy who just getting downhill and just being an absolute monster. But beyond that. I don't think there's really been anybody. I'm like, yeah, like Ron Holland has been bad.
Yeah.
Capital B bad.
Bronny.
Bronny's been a tire fire. Like, that's just.
No, what are you talking about? He's going to be Lou Dort.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
Lou Dort or Bronny? I'm
trying to think if there's anybody else. Dylan Jones has been fun. The Blazers brought him in for a workout. I think that's probably it though. Like, there's nobody who I'm just like, yeah, no, like that's the guy that, but that's also this draft class. Like, Alex Starr was 0-15 the other day for the Wizards against the Blazers. And everybody's like, oh, you really like Alex Starr? I'm like, yeah, the same reason I like Donovan Klingon. He's really good at defense.
And he can develop offense.
Yeah. And like, if the offense coming around for him is the difference between him being like a good player to a great player. And that's always been the question with him. It was like, who would I rather have? And taking swings on guys, like, give me the guy with the crazy, you know, potential. Give me the guy with the crazy talent. I will say, though, after three games played now, Donovan Klingon leads the NBA Summer League in rebounds and in block shots, all while playing under 26 minutes a game.
Yeah, I think Casey Holdall's tweet said he's not in the top 50 in minutes played.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you want out of him.
Yeah, so I made this reference. I think I said this yesterday as well. His per 36 numbers are probably going to look pretty dumb. Like, they're going to look video game-esque. Mm-hmm. If he plays 18 a night, which is kind of what I think he's going to be early on, right, because DeAndre's going to play 32-ish.
Right. Off the bench.
Yeah. With that, I think you're looking at him averaging probably 6 points, 8 rebounds, and like 1.8 to 2 blocks, which if you look at his...
That's real nice.
Yeah. But if you look at that as a per 36, if you're playing 18, you just double everything. You're looking at a guy that per 36, he's going to average 12, 16, and 4.
That would be real, real... do you think that they find different ways to get Klingon and Scoot and Shaden all together on the same floor, or at least two... or at least Klingon and one of the other guards.
I will say this right
now. Is there a plan for that?
Yes and no. You know what? That's actually probably a good way to transition to this next. Zach Lowe did his interesting things in the league. I think the exact line was something along the lines of seven teams people aren't really talking about.
Right.
And he talked about the Blazers and tanking, and I kind of want to go into that here next. How the shaping of the team and what kind of look for over the next couple months. We'll get to that and more. Can be around Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Outside of the Damian Lillard saga, the view from the Northeast as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers is, huh, they exist still, huh? And that's the plight or the part and parcel of where the Trailblazers are right now in their rebuild, is that they don't matter nationally. Without a face of the franchise, without a foundational building block, without a guy who's looked at as a top 10 player in his prime and a first ballot Hall of Famer in Damian Lillard, there just isn't a lot of buzz that, 4,000 miles away anyone cares about. And with that, you kind of get locked in your own bubble. Zach Lowe has the 7 most discussed teams in the offseason, and he has the likely tankers as the Trailblazers. He mentions that the Blazers have finished below 500 only 8 times in the franchise's existence.
That's pretty good. I bet most people didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And was it 54 years? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No? Right, meow? That's pretty good.
Yeah, what? That was the 70-71 season?
Yeah.
It was the inaugural season?
So it's been a hot minute. They're very, very, very historically good. I believe they have the 6th highest winning percentage in basketball. They've fallen off for the last couple of years. The Suns passed them up, who've only existed for a little, little less. Was it 1990? The Suns became
official?
I
remember it like it was yesterday.
No. Not 90. No,
80.
It was in the 80s because Barkley. right? Barkley gets over there.
I can't remember now.
No, Barkley came around. That was in the
92.
Like, yeah. So they had to have been.
No, they were around. I meant to say 80, but I think it's 80 because they were an expansion franchise.
68.
God, was it really? I guess they were an ABA crossover team. Good God. I thought they were younger than that.
I don't think they were an ABA
team. No. When they came together.
Oh, okay.
God, really? No, that's 78.
Yeah. They were around before, yeah.
They were an original.
68.
God, my brain, again, like I said earlier today, my brain is mush, so.
Thinking about the offers you're going to get your four-star quarterback.
Damn right. How I got to pitch it to him, man. A championship contender. Coach prestige.
You want this Lambo?
Look, man, it's really hard. Like, I'm really recruiting Texas hard. That's why I chose Houston. I had a little hotbed to work
That's
with.
That's right.
Got to keep them close to home. but the first line in here, I want this to echo into the ears and brains of Blazers fans far and wide. The Blazers will be bad by design ahead of the loaded 2025 draft headlined by Cooper Flagg.
That's right.
Stop going, well, I could see them winning 37 games. No, you can't. No, you can't. And it is going to be by design. It is going to be by design. This organization and five other organizations are already plotting on driving a car off the cliff.
Lag for flag.
Capture the flag, baby. Come on now. It is going.
How about a pooper for Cooper?
There you go. Babe. Talking to executives and front office personnel and coaches that were at Team USA when Cooper Flagg was playing, it was already like, yeah, the teams are gonna tank pretty hard for Cooper. Since then, it has shot into the stratosphere.
He looked amazing.
He didn't just look like a guy that was like, oh, you can see it. Like,
yeah.
He looked like a guy that was giving it to the NBA like stars. At 17 years old.
He hit a three over, what was it, AD?
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
Here's the thing. Is like the highlights are making the rounds. That quarter in the scrimmage, he had 11, 6, and 3 in that quarter.
At 17.
At 17. He's not 18 years old until December.
When I had 11, 6, and 3, it was 11 Laffy Taffys, 6 corn dogs, and 3 ice cream bowls.
He's special. And so the tanking is going to be egregious. The Trailblazers win total came out at 22.5, and I don't think I can take the over.
No, you gotta take the under.
I think I will not touch that line. I think that line is perfect.
Yeah.
I think
right where
22 to 24 wins is exactly where they're going to be.
Well, that's what Blazer fans should be cheering for.
Yes.
You want to be bad, but you want to see signs of growth.
And you were asking before we went to the break about like how they would get guys on the floor.
Right.
And I want to say this right now as it currently stands. If Anthony Simons is on this team, he is unequivocally not coming off the bench.
He should.
I'm telling you right now, wink, wink, nod, nod, he's not coming off the bench. Chauncey Billups is not going to bring Anthony Simons off the bench. You can scream and yell, Scoob needs to start. I don't care. Number one, you're wrong. Number two, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the world that is a reality.
Right.
Ant is so much better than Scoot right now that it's you can't do that to players, especially younger players. You cannot do that to anybody in the league. I hope Scoop comes out and makes it a legitimate, difficult decision.
Yeah.
That would be a level of unprecedented growth for Scoot.
That would also be ideal because you can – I mean, like, I feel like I saw growth from him. But
sure, towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Anthony Simons is a guy that's
– he's a 25-point-per-game scorer who's like a 45-40-90 shooter.
Right. Like, he's your one.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's your one. He was your two with Dame at the end. He's your one.
Yeah. And he is the guy that – again, this is a stat that I'll reference over and over and over again. Anthony Simons, the only player that was blitzed more in the entire NBA was Luka Doncic. That's the list. Like, that's how egregiously they wanted to get the ball out of his hands, okay? But as far as, like, how you fit guys together with Donovan Clingan, right now, as the roster currently sits, Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. That's your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that with just Donovan Clingan.
Same like, group, but just bring him
Swap DA out for Clingan. Let's see how it looks.
Have him be the sixth man.
Yeah, just have him be, like, Let DA play the first 6 minutes, then get Klingon in there for a nice little 5-6 minute shift.
Well, how do you think that can work though with a guy like DA who's already viewed as kind of aloof and maybe unhappy in certain spots? And
as long as he's getting his touches and he's playing his 32 minutes, I think he's totally fine.
The other thing that I would ask is, if Klingon is supposed to be one of the building blocks and Scoot's supposed to be one of the building blocks, I would like them together a lot, especially with Klingon's athleticism to be able to run like the pick and roll and mm-hmm. stuff like that. How do you think the Blazers are going to be able to work that in for those
two? And that's the interesting thing here is, if you go back on my Patreon, when I wrote about Donovan Klingon, I like him as a I liked him as a prospect. I like his defense. I like his rim protection, Mike.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fun little question here on the Vancouver Ford text line. For the performances we've seen at Summer League thus far, which players are you most bummed about us missing in the draft? Before we dive into that, basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. There have been a bunch of standouts at Summer League. Among this class, Reed Shepard's probably way up there. We talked about him yesterday. His ability, his pull-up jumper is just insanely good. Mm-hmm. I was just like, whoa, okay, this guy's a player. But it's another guard where it's like, oh, God, for the love of God, I can't do more guards. Even as good as he's going to be, an interesting kind of fit working things through.
When you look at Klingon and what he's done so far, mm-hmm. I feel like Blazer fans shouldn't be bummed out at all about missing on anybody. Like, he has been exactly what you wanted, a rim protector who can go and get boards. And
he solves problems that are questions the Blazers have. Like, he's an answer to the questions.
Well, I can't remember a Blazer or a Blazers team having a big that could rim protect in my lifetime. And I mean, I get it. I'm not that old, but I'm 26.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they probably had somebody that was like that was Camby, who was like just an absolute terrorist as a shot blocker.
But I think there's more room for Klingon, like more potential there. There's more room probably for growth than Camby, even Camby was.
Camby's a hell of a player. But yeah, I mean, Sabonis was just so big that he operated as a rim deterrent, but that was a different era of the NBA. Prisbilla was probably the last like functional. Robin Lopez was a functional rim defender.
Saw him at the airport.
But Robin is probably a more apt comparison. And I've talked to folks in the league who think that the like apex predator version of Donovan Clingan is Brook Lopez.
Okay,
like.
I can get down with that.
If all of a sudden he's like knocked down threes on offense, which I think he's a long ways from, but like that, his functional ability is like knock down three, spread court offensively while being a perimeter playmaker, and then defensively being a guy who just sits in the paint. Mm-hmm. And that's something he did. He does very well. I wrote about it on my Patreon. He already is a rookie. He 2.9s really well. For those mm-hmm. who don't know, 2.9ing is your 3 second call is you standing in the paint for 3 seconds, not guarding anybody. You 2.9, which means you get 1 foot out, tag somebody, and get back in. Or if you're Donovan Clingan, you just stand there and make them call it until they eventually call it. And that's like knowing how to do that and being willing to do that, not getting all jittery in the paint, like. He just parks his big butt in the middle of the paint and mm-hmm. says, call it.
Right.
And you've heard multiple coaches on the opposing teams in the broadcast. You're like, he hasn't left the paint. He hasn't left the paint. 3 seconds. Like, it's quite funny. Mm-hmm. But I think he answers a lot of questions. I will say that there, like, I do have like FOMO of like developing young players. That's like my favorite thing in the NBA is watching young guys put it together.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love Dame. Watching mm-hmm. him develop was incredible. It's not that I didn't appreciate him dropping 71 points or hitting the .9 or the bad shot or everything else in between. But my favorite thing to watch is a player's first 5 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Watching them go from bright-eyed bushy-tailed to figuring it out. It's super, super, super cool to watch the building blocks come together and like progress along the path.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Utah got an absolute dude in Cody Williams. Cody Williams, everyone's like, I don't know. It's just he's kind of skinny. Is it just because his brother's in the league? No. The dude is an absolute freaking bucket, and that's what you're seeing. He's averaging 17 a game, shooting 60% from the floor. Like, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's going to be really pretty good. He needs a little bit of time. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. To give him 2 years in the league because he's a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Go hit an NBA weight room for a year and a half and watch. We're going to be talking about this guy and going, yeah, that's a dude. And look, I'm not mad that the Blazers didn't take him, so to speak, in the sense of like, oh my God, they can't. I can't believe they did that and they traded for Denny because I love Denny.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me about guys that I'm like, oh God, it would be nice to have him. Cody's 1A on that list, unabashedly. Tristan Da Silva and Terrence Shannon Jr. are both guys who were – Tristan Da Silva is just a pro. Like, if the Blazers kept their 14th pick, like that's who was – yep, he looks good.
Take those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Terrence Shannon Jr., obviously, he had a rape charge. And I talked mm-hmm. to folks in the league who told me that behind the scenes that there was once all of the evidence came to the fore that the charges just didn't have any merit.
Hmm.
And it's a nasty charge and something that's sitting with him for a very long time. But all of the background and security and all the stuff that went into that, they said, yeah, the video did not show it was him.
Someone else or
it's pretty clearly not him.
Yeah.
it's a black man.
I was gonna say, as someone who has not seen the video.
Yeah, but it's pretty conclusively not him. So it's unfortunate the situation that he found himself in. But he's another guy who just getting downhill and just being an absolute monster. But beyond that, I don't think there's really been anybody I'm like, yeah, like Ron Holland has been bad.
Yeah.
Capital B bad.
Bronny.
Bronny's been a tire fire. Like, that's just.
No, what are you talking about? He's going to be Lou Dort.
Yeah, that's just. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
Lou Dort or Bronny?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Dylan Jones has been fun. The Blazers brought him in for a workout. I think that's probably it though. Like, there's nobody who I'm just like, no, like that's the guy that, but that's also this draft class. Like, Alex Starr was 0 of 15. the other day for the Wizards against the Blazers, and everybody's like, "Oh, you really like Alex Orr?" I'm like, "Yeah, the same reason I like Donovan Klingon. He's really good at defense,
and he can develop offense."
Yeah, and like if the offense coming around for him is the difference between him being like a good player to a great player, and that's always been the question with him. It was like, who would I rather have? And taking swings on guys, like, give me the guy with the crazy, you know, potential. Give me the guy with the crazy talent. I will say, though, after three games played now, Donovan Klingon leads the NBA Summer League in rebounds and in block shots, all while playing under 26 minutes a game.
Yeah, I think Casey Holdall's tweet said he's not in the top 50 in minutes played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you want out of him.
Yeah, so I made this reference. I think I said this yesterday as well. His per 36 numbers are probably going to look pretty dumb. Like, they're going to look video game-esque. Mm-hmm. If he plays 18 a night, which is kind of what I think he's going to be early on, because DeAndre's going to play 32-ish.
Right. Off the bench.
Yeah. With that, I think you're looking at him averaging probably 6 points, 8 rebounds, and like 1.8 to 2 blocks. Which, if you look at his,
that's real nice.
Yeah. But if you look at that as a per 36, if you're playing 18, you just double everything. You're looking at a guy that per 36, he's going to average 12, 16, and 4.
That would be real, real. Do you think that they find different ways to get Klingon and Scoot and Shaden all together on the same floor, or at least two? Or at least Klingon and one of the other guards.
I will say this right
now. Is there a plan for that?
Yeah, yes and no. You know what? That's actually probably a good way to transition to this next. Zach Lowe did his interesting things in the league. I think the exact line was something along the lines of seven teams people aren't really talking about.
Right.
And he talked about the Blazers and tanking, and I kind of want to go into that here next. How the shaping of the team and what kind of look for over the next couple months. We'll get to that and more. Can be around Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Outside of the Damian Lillard saga, the view from the Northeast as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers is, they exist still, huh? And that's the plight or the part and parcel of where the Trailblazers are right now in their rebuild, is that they don't matter nationally. Without a face of the franchise, without a foundational building block, without a guy who's looked at as a top 10 player in his prime and a first ballot Hall of Famer in Damian Lillard, there just isn't a lot of buzz that, 4,000 miles away anyone cares about. And with that, you kind of get locked in your own bubble. Zach Lowe has the 7 most discussed teams in the offseason, and he has the likely tankers as the Trailblazers. He mentions that the Blazers have finished below 500 only 8 times in the franchise's existence.
That's pretty good. I bet most people didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Was it 54 years? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No? Right, meow? That's pretty good.
Yeah, what? That was the 70-71 season?
Yeah.
It was the inaugural season?
So it's been a hot minute. They're very, very, very historically good. I believe they have the 6th highest winning percentage in basketball. They've fallen off for the last couple of years. The Suns passed them up, who've only existed for a little, little less. Was it 1990, the Suns became
official?
I
remember it like it was yesterday.
No, not 90. No,
80.
It was in the 80s because Barkley. Right? Barkley gets over there?
I can't remember now.
No, Barkley came around. That was in the
92.
Like, yeah. So they had to have been.
Oh, no, they were around. I'm 80s. I meant to say 80, but I think it's 80 because they were an expansion franchise.
68.
God, was it really? I guess they were an ABA crossover team. Good God. I thought they were younger than
that. I don't think they were an ABA
team. No. When they came together.
Oh, okay.
God, really? No, that's 78.
Yeah. God, they were on before, yeah.
They were on original.
68.
God, my brain, again, like I said earlier today, my brain is mush. So,
thinking about the offers you're going to get your 4-star quarterback.
Damn right. How I got to pitch it to him, man. A championship contender. Coach prestige.
You want this Lambo?
Look, man, it's really hard. Like, I'm really recruiting Texas hard. That's why I chose Houston. I had a little hotbed to work
That's
with.
That's right.
Got to keep them close to home. but the. The first line in here, I want this to echo into the ears and brains of Blazers fans far and wide. The Blazers will be bad by design ahead of the loaded 2025 draft, headlined by Cooper Flagg.
That's right.
Stop going, well, I could see them winning 37 games. No, you can't. And it is going to be by design. It is going to be by design. This organization and five other organizations are already plotting on driving a car off the cliff.
Lag for flag.
Capture the flag, baby. Come on now. It is going.
How about a pooper for Cooper?
There you go. Babe. Talking to executives and front office personnel and coaches that were at Team USA when Cooper Flag was playing, it was already like, yeah, the teams are gonna tank pretty hard for Cooper. Since then, it has shot into the stratosphere.
He looked amazing.
He didn't just look like a guy that was like, oh, you can see it. Like,
yeah.
He looked like a guy that was giving it to the NBA like stars. Well, at 17 years old.
He hit a three over, what was it, AD?
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
Well, here's the thing. Is like the highlights are making the rounds. That quarter in the scrimmage, he had 11, 6, and 3 in that quarter.
At 17.
At 17. He's not 18 years old until December.
When I had 11, 6, and 3, it was 11 Laffy Taffys, 6 corn dogs, and 3 ice cream bowls.
He's special. And so the tanking is going to be egregious. The Trailblazers win total came out at 22.5, and I don't think I can take the over.
No, you gotta take the under.
I think I will not touch that line. I think that line is perfect.
Yeah.
I think right where 22 to 24 wins is exactly where they're going to be.
Well, that's what Blazer fans should be cheering for.
Yes.
You want to be bad, but you want to see signs of growth.
And you were asking before we went in the break about like how they would get guys on the floor.
Right.
And I want to say this right now as it currently stands. If Anthony Simons is on this team, he is unequivocally not coming off the bench.
He shouldn't.
I'm telling you right now, wink, wink, nod, nod, he's not coming off the bench. Chauncey Billups is not going to bring Anthony Simons off the bench. You can scream and yell, Scoob needs to start. I don't care. Number one, you're wrong. Number two, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the world that is reality.
Right.
Ant is so much better than Scoot right now that it's you can't do that to players, especially younger players. You cannot do that to anybody in the league. I hope Scoop comes out and makes it a legitimate, difficult decision.
Yeah.
That would be a level of unprecedented growth for Scoot.
That would also be ideal because you can – I mean, like, I feel like I saw growth from him. But
sure, towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Anthony Simons is a guy that's
– he's a 25-point-per-game scorer who's like a 45-40-90 shooter.
Right. Like, he's your one.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's your one. He was your two with Dame at the end. He's your one.
Yeah. And he is the guy that – again, this is a stat that I'll reference over and over and over again. Anthony Simons, the only player that was blitzed more – in the entire NBA was Luka Doncic. That's the list. Like, that's how egregiously they wanted to get the ball out of his hands, okay? But as far as, like, how you fit guys together with Donovan Clingan, right now, as the roster currently sits, Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. That's your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that with just Donovan Clingan.
Same like, group, but just bring him.
Swap DA out for Klingon. Let's see how it looks.
Have him be the sixth man.
Yeah, just have him be like, let DA play the first 6 minutes, then get Klingon in there for a nice little 5-6 minute shift.
Well, how do you think that can work though with a guy like DA who's already viewed as kind of aloof and maybe unhappy in certain spots? And
as long as he's getting his touches and he's playing his 32 minutes, I think he's totally fine.
The other thing that I would ask is, if Klingon is supposed to be one of the building blocks and Scoot's supposed to be one of the building blocks, I would like them together a lot, especially with Klingon's athleticism to be able to run like the pick and roll and stuff like that. How do you think the Blazers are going to be able to work that in for those?
And that's the interesting thing here is if you go back on my Patreon when I wrote about Donovan Klingon, I liked him as a prospect. I like his defense. I like his rim protection. The passing, my concerns were around the offensive side of the game. His ability to be an above-the-rim player, his ability to work on the roll, his ability to stretch the floor or lack thereof, and how you deal with that with Scoot Henderson. Now, it's not a – think about it this way. If – actually, this isn't even a good one because Gobert is a great lob threat. Imagine – or really, Yusuf Nurkic, that offensively...
That's scary.
That's kind of where he's at in the, without the three ball, in that he's a little inconsistent on the roll. Mm-hmm. Or finishing at the rim, I should say. His playmaking on the short roll is good, which Nurk, good.
Right.
Like, the passing, like there's some similarities there. But he rushes around the rim. He's not an above the rim threat. We're like, Rudy Gobert, you just throw it near the rim. He's going to go get it and dunk. Now, he has no semblance of offensive game outside of that. He's not a passer. He's not a guy you can give the ball to in a mismatch. Right. I think Klingon can eventually get there and be like a guy that if you switch, you know, 1 and 5 in a pick and roll and you reset and he drags a point guard down to the paint, he's got better body control. He's still going to struggle, I think, in figuring that stuff out. But yes, I do agree you need to get him on the floor, but I'm not so far to the point of like, I need to see Scoot, Shaden, and Donovan together. Because I don't know if Scoot is the guy yet.
Mm.
And that, for me, needs to be answered before you're prioritizing those three guys getting on the
those
floor.
Those minutes.
Yeah. Now, would I like to see it? Absolutely.
Could that be a way of determining if he is the guy? Like, if these two work well together, that could be a way, you would think, of being like, hey, here's the growth, here's the path that we have with Scoot.
Yes and no in the sense of the no on the... Because, like, if you look at how it kind of grew a little bit with DeAndre Ayton towards the end of the season. DA is a much better offensive player.
Right.
Pick and pop, finishing at the rim,
right. Not arguing
playing above the rim, all those things. Now, the pushback, of course, is DA is not the screener that Klingon is. So does a defender have, you know, trailing on a Klingon screen, does that allow Scoot to do more with, you know, downhill force, being a guy at the rim that, you know, he's making better choices? Can Donovan Klingon take advantage of you know, a switch in that kind of situation? Like, those are like very fine points, but I think that the better fit right now is still Scoot and DA.
Okay. So that'll be better for Scoot's growth to stay with DA as much as he can.
I think so, early on. Until he shows that, number one, he can A, shoot it, or B, get to the rim and finish.
Right.
And to me, the bigger thing is being a finisher, because I don't think Scoot's ever going to be a plus shooter, but I think he has the capacity to be a perfectly fine shooter.
Right.
So
he can develop into it, take his time.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where you're looking at is like, that's an interesting spot to be. What can you do with this? All right, coming up next, Caleb Williams finally signed his contract. He tried to do some interesting stuff with it. We'll get to that in the more here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Outside of the Damian Lillard saga, the view from the Northeast as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers is, they exist still, huh? And that's the plight or the part and parcel of where the Trailblazers are right now in their rebuild, is that they don't matter nationally. Without a face of the franchise, without a foundational building block, without a guy who's looked at as a top 10 player in his prime and a first ballot Hall of Famer in Damian Lillard, there just isn't a lot of buzz that, 4,000 miles away anyone cares about. And with that, you kind of get locked in your own bubble. Zach Lowe has the 7 most discussed teams in the offseason, and he has the likely tankers as the Trailblazers. He mentions that the Blazers have finished below 500 only 8 times in the franchise's existence.
That's pretty good. I bet most people didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And was it 54 years? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No? Right, meow? That's pretty good.
Yeah, what? That was the 70-71 season?
Yeah.
It was the inaugural season?
So it's been a hot minute. They're very, very, very historically good. I believe they have the 6th highest winning percentage in basketball. They've fallen off for the last couple of years. The Suns passed them up, who've only existed for a little, little less. Was it 1990? The Suns became
official?
I
remember it like it was yesterday.
No, not 90. No,
80.
It was in the 80s because Barkley, right? Barkley gets over there?
I can't remember now.
No, Barkley came around. That was in the
92.
Yeah. So they had to have been.
No, they were around. I'm 80s. I meant to say 80, but I think it's 80 because they were an expansion franchise.
68.
God, was it really? I guess they were an ABA crossover team. Good God. I thought they were younger than that.
I don't think they were an ABA
team. No. When they came together.
Oh, okay.
God, really? No, that's 78.
Yeah. God, they were on before, yeah.
They were on original.
68.
God, my brain, again, like I said earlier today, my brain is mush. So,
thinking about the offers you're going to get your 4-star quarterback.
Damn right. How I got to pitch it to him, man. A championship contender. Coach prestige.
You want this Lambo?
Look, man, it's really hard. Like, I'm really recruiting Texas hard. That's why I've I chose Houston. I had a little hotbed to work
That's
with.
Right.
Got to keep them close to home. but the first line in here, I want this to echo into the ears and brains of Blazers fans far and wide. The Blazers will be bad by design ahead of the loaded 2025 draft, headlined by Cooper Flagg.
That's right.
Stop going, well, I could see them winning 37 games. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. And it is going to be by design. It is going to be by design. This organization and five other organizations are already plotting on driving a car off the cliff.
Lag for flag.
Capture the flag, baby. Come on now. It is going.
How about a pooper for Cooper?
There you go. Babe. Talking to executives and front office personnel and coaches that were at Team USA when Cooper Flagg was playing, it was already like, yeah, the teams are gonna tank pretty hard for Cooper. Since then, it has shot into the stratosphere.
He looked amazing.
He didn't just look like a guy that was like, oh, you can see it. Like,
yeah.
He looked like a guy that was giving it to the NBA like stars. And at 17 years old.
He hit a three over, what was AD. It, AD?
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
Here's the thing. Is like the highlights are making the rounds. That quarter in the scrimmage, he had 11, 6, and 3. In that quarter.
At 17.
At 17. He's not 18 years old until December.
When I had 11, 6, and 3, it was 11 Laffy Taffys, 6 corn dogs, and 3 ice cream bowls.
He's special. And so the tanking is going to be egregious. The Trailblazers win total came out at 22.5, and I don't think I can take the over.
No, you got to take the under.
I think I will not touch that line. I think that line is perfect.
Yeah.
I think right where 22 to 24 wins is exactly where they're going to be.
Well, that's what Blazer fans should be cheering for.
Yes.
You want to be bad, but you want to see signs of growth.
And you were asking before we went in the break about like how they would get guys on the floor.
Right.
And I want to say this right now as it currently stands. If Anthony Simons is on this team, he is unequivocally not coming off the bench.
He should.
I'm telling you right now, wink, wink, nod, nod, he's not coming off the bench. Chauncey Billups is not going to bring Anthony Simons off the bench. You can scream and yell, Sko needs to start. I don't care. Number one, you're wrong. Number two, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the world that is a reality.
Right.
Ant is so much better than Scoot right now that it's you can't do that to players, especially younger players. You cannot do that to anybody in the league. I hope Scoop comes out and makes it a legitimate, difficult decision.
Yeah.
That would be a level of unprecedented growth for Scoot.
That would also be ideal because you can – I mean, like, I feel like I saw growth from him. But
sure, towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Anthony Simons is a guy that's
– he's a 25-point-per-game scorer who's like a 45-40-90 shooter.
Right. Like, he's your one.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's your one. He was your two with Dame at the end. He's your one.
Yeah. And he is the guy that – again, this is a stat that I'll reference over and over and over again. Anthony Simons, the only player that was blitzed more in the entire NBA was Luka Doncic. That's the list. Like, that's how egregiously they wanted to get the ball out of his hands, okay? But as far as, like, how you fit guys together with Donovan Clingan, right now, as the roster currently sits, Anthony Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Avdija, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. That's your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that with just Donovan Clingan.
Same like, group, but just bring him
Swap DA out for Clingan. Let's see how it looks.
Have him be the sixth man?
Yeah, just have him be, like, Let DA play the first 6 minutes, then get Clingan in there for a nice little 5-6 minute shift.
Well, how do you think that can work though with a guy like DA who's already viewed as kind of aloof and maybe unhappy in certain spots? And
as long as he's getting his touches and he's playing his 32 minutes, I think he's totally fine.
The other thing that I would ask is, if Clingan is supposed to be one of the building blocks and Scoot's supposed to be one of the building blocks, I would like them together a lot, especially with Klingon's athleticism to be able to run like the pick and roll and stuff like that. How do you think the Blazers are going to be able to work that in for those?
And that's the interesting thing here is if you go back on my Patreon, when I wrote about Donovan Clingan, I liked him as a prospect. I like his defense. I like his rim protection. The passing, my concerns were around the offensive side of the game. His ability to be an above the rim player, his ability to work on the roll, his ability to stretch the floor or lack thereof, and how you deal with that with Scoot Henderson. Now, it's not a great, think about it this way. If actually this isn't even a good one because Gobert is a great lob threat. Imagine, Yusuf Nurkic. That offensively,
that's scary.
That's kind of where he's at, in this without the three ball. In that he's a little inconsistent on the roll, or finishing at the rim, I should say. His playmaking on the short roll is good, which Nurk, good.
Right.
Like the passing, like there's some similarities there. But he rushes around the rim. He's not an above the rim threat. We're like Rudy Gobert. You just throw it near the rim.
He's gonna get it and dunk.
Now he has no semblance of offensive game outside of that. He's not a passer. He's not a guy you can give the ball to in a mismatch. Right. I think Klingon can eventually get there and be like a guy that if you switch, you know, 1 and 5 in a pick and roll, and you reset and he drags a point guard down to the paint, he's got better body control. He's still going to struggle, I think, in figuring that stuff out. But yes, I do agree you need to get him on the floor, but I'm not so far to the point of like, I need to see Scoot, Shaden, and Donovan together, because I don't know if Scoot is the guy yet.
Mm.
And that, for me, needs to be answered before you're prioritizing those three guys getting on the floor.
Those minutes.
Yeah. Now, would I like to see it? Absolutely.
Could that be a way of determining if he is the guy? Like, if these two work well together, that could be a way you would think of being like, hey, here's the growth, here's the path that we have with Scoot.
Yes and no, in the sense of no on the, because like if you look at how it kind of grew a little bit with DeAndre Ayton towards the end of the season, DA is a much better offensive player.
Right.
Pick and pop, finishing at the rim,
right.
playing above the rim, all those things. Now, the pushback, of course, is DA is not the screener that Klingon is. So does a defender have, you know, trailing on a Klingon screen, does that allow Scoot to do more with, you know, downhill force, being a guy at the rim that, you know, he's making better choices? Can Donovan Klingon take advantage of, you know, a switch in that kind of situation? Like, those are like very fine points, but I think that the better fit right now is still Scoot and DA.
Okay. So that'll be better for Scoot's growth to stay with DA as much as he can.
I think so, early on, until he shows that, number one, he can A, shoot it, or B, get to the rim and finish.
Right.
And to me, the bigger thing is being a finisher, because I don't think Scoot's ever going to be a plus shooter, but I think he has the capacity to be a perfectly fine shooter.
Right.
So
he can develop into it, take his time.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where you're looking at, is like, That's an interesting spot to be. What can you do with this? All right, coming up next, Caleb Williams finally signed his contract. He tried to do some interesting stuff with it. We'll get to that in the more here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.